From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Early pink salmon harvest are breaking records in parts of the state, while Yukon chum are way off and sockeye catches in South Central still lag behind the five-year average. What happened to Sitka sacro herring? Managers shut the fishery down before it even got started. The herring were too young and too small. With no season on the books, people in Sitka wonder what next. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
As more salmon openers throughout Southeast Alaska were coming online, pink salmon harvest elsewhere were breaking early season records. Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has details.
By June 21st, a pink catch topping 5 million was leading all other species, with strong production at Kodiak, the Alaska Peninsula, and the Aleutian Islands. Fish and Game Manager James Jackson at Kodiak said there's an abnormally large number of humpies in the Gulf, and it's hopefully a preview of a big harvest. For sockeyes, the volume so far is stronger than last year, but 20% below the five-year average. The best showing is at the Copper River, where a catch approaching 900,000 reds is way ahead of the forecast. Meanwhile, sockeye catches at Kodiak and Cook Inlet are off to a slow start. At Chignik, where just 28 reds were caught last year, escapements are three times stronger so far, but no openers there yet. For chums, or kita, the catch was approaching 2 million at a pace slightly above last year and 40% higher than the five-year average. Chums are projected to set a record this year with the catch of 29 million. Chinook harvests were nearing 40,000, about 30% stronger than at the same time in 2018. Coho salmon production will begin in a few weeks. State managers predict an all-species catch of just over 213 million salmon for this year, more than 80% higher than 2018. Last year's catch was valued at $600 million at the Alaska docks.
That was Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch. Turning now to the Yukon River. Halfway through the season, a commercial summer chum salmon fishery on the Yukon now appears unlikely. The return of summer chum is late and weak and well below prediction. The preseason outlook for chum, also known as dog or kita salmon, was for between 1.2 and 2 million fish. But state management biologist Holly Carroll says the actual return came nowhere close to that.
And in fact, the run is tracking below the lowest years we saw, which were in 2000, 2001.
The pilot station sonar indicates that a little over 65,000 chums have swum up the Yukon as of June 25th. Compare that to the median at this time, which is over 500,000 fish. That means not enough summer chums appear to have swum up the Yukon to meet the current drainage-wide escapement goal of 500,000. The river's chum fishery is an important source of cash for the villages in the lower Yukon region.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
As the summer fishing season gets underway in Sitka, the memory of this spring's herring fishery grows a bit more distant, but the effects ripple on. What caused the sacro fishery to fail is debated by many. But there's no question that the absence of a commercial season had an impact on management, the economy, and subsistence. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
Looking at a chart that measures the catch for the Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery over the past 3 decades, the harvest peaks around 2009 and then begins to decrease for the next decade. And on future charts, 2019 will be blank. Not a fish was caught. Some seiners said conservation was the driving factor in the decision to not fish, but some processors said it was an issue of markets. The price seiners called for was too high. And ADF&G biologist Eric Kuhnrat says the state could have opened the fishery too. He observed many schools of fish, but they were too young and small.
Yes, we could have had an opening any time really after 2-hour notice. It's just that those fish didn't meet with the market demands.
But subsistence harvester Tom Gamble says holding off was the right call.
The current decision to not fish this year by the fishermen was the wisest choice I have ever heard on the record in all of my lifetime.
Why the fishery flopped is still contested, but critics say that this year should be a sign that something needs to change. Gamble says he's anticipated this for years, and it's all due to poor management of the fishery.
2017, I stood before Sherry Dressel and their whole entire crowd, and I challenged their management strategy.
Sitka Tribe of Alaska is pushing ADF&G to change the model, too. Representatives from STA declined an interview with KCAW due to pending litigation. Their case against the state is set to go to trial in January of 2020. In years past, ADF&G has stood by their intensive model and data collection, and this year is no different.
We're looking at similar programs that we've had in play for quite a while.
Kuhnrat says that while the fish were small this year, there were a lot of them and a lot of spawn.
Not quite as thick or wide as it was in 2018, but the length of spawn was a little over 20 miles longer. So
he says this fall they're looking at making at least one change before they determine next year's forecast.
They're looking at a new format for the model. And we're supposed to discuss that sometime this fall.
Whether the fishery is struggling because of management or other factors, there's no question that the absence of a fishery had a financial impact on Sitka. In 2017, 6 of the roughly 50 permit holders were Sitka boats. But those boats did pretty well. According to data collected by economists at the McDowell Group, that year, Sitka permit holders took in $368,000, and the fishery made just over $4 million. For the past 9 years, the fishery has generated just under $6 million in revenue on average annually. McDowell estimates that the local share of fisheries business tax revenue from herring averages to around $90,000, depending on the harvest. And that doesn't begin to account for the impact to processors or local businesses that see an uptick during the fishery, or the amount of energy used to process the fish, which is seen in a boost in usage and fees for Sitka's electric utility. Biologist Kuhnrat says the data are pointing toward a similar season in 2020, a lot of 3- and 4-year-old herring in Sitka Sound. While this is good news for future returns, for next year it means a season again dominated by small fish.
If the markets remain the same, then we'll be in a very similar situation than that we were in this year. So,
a situation that, at least on the surface, could benefit the subsistence fishery, but that's not certain either. Harvester Tom Gamble says that fish were smaller this year and farther from town than usual. He believes that the unexpected break in the commercial fishery is a chance to look for a creative solution to the problem, which is how to have a commercially viable fishery without undermining the health of the stock or the people and the ecosystem that depend on it.
And I truly believe that we have to at least have a moratorium and establish something that allows for a rebound every other year. In turn, recognizing that because we waited those 2 years that they have to have a substantial fishery to sustain the livelihoods of the permit holders.
Gamble says it was quieter on the water this year, with no spotter planes circling overhead. And with no high-intensity seining to supervise, Gamble says that state wildlife troopers took to eyeballing the subsistence fleet on their patrols. He wasn't excited about the increased scrutiny. It was a total management shift, said Gamble. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
The Kodiak City Council officially expressed concern over the Pebble Mine's Environmental Impact Statement, or EIS. The council approved a letter addressed to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Alaska District, which outlines the need for a better study as well as an understanding of the potential impact caused by the various proposed alternatives that are listed in the draft EIS. Councilmember John Whidden pointed out that the Pebble Mine project not only will affect those who fish in Bristol Bay, but could have what he called a devastating effect on the future of sales for all fish that come from Alaska.
Typically, you know, Kodiak, we just sort of look at the fish in our own backyard in the Gulf of Alaska and don't concern ourselves as much with other regions, but the potential across the entire scope of the proposed Pebble Mine operation, potential to harm our fisheries is so profound that it's important that we as a community address the inadequacies of this EIS. So I strongly support this and appreciate being able to bring it forward. Thank you.
While Whidden spoke specifically to the Kodiak community, mine opponents have warned of similar problems that non-Bristol Bay fishermen could have selling their product if something happens to the reputation of the Alaska brand. Pebble mining officials have long said that the permitting process and the environmental impact statement are a way to ensure that the mine will be safe for the environment and the fisheries.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Daniel Bross at KUAC in Fairbanks, Catherine Rose at KCAW in Sitka, Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio, and Johanna Urich. Good luck fishing, everyone, and remember, life vests really do save lives. Use one. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.